Rocks, a review podcast run by the team here at Mad Artists. Each week we will be reviewing a different production, whether it's a movie, TV show, book, etc. And this week we watched Dungeons and Dragons. My name is Danielle, and here are the Mad Artists that I have with me to help break this down today.
Hey everyone, it's Samuel.
It's John.
And
hello, my name is Sam Marie.
Oh my god. I am Brett.
These are two other members of our team, so they're not so much guests as they are just, you know, showing up for work.
I want to say this is, we have the
almost
full staff.
Yeah, because
we currently, this is full staff.
Yeah,
currently. Unless we're including Tyler.
We have another person we're working on bringing into the fold.
Yes,
but
yes.
Of our current full staff.
Yeah. Of our current full staff,
this is everybody.
Mazel tov.
We all actually play D&D, so that was part of the reason why this had to happen this way. Oh my god. Oh, this is going to be so unbearable.
This is great. I'm so excited.
So, obviously, none of us had seen this before, correct?
Right.
Yeah, this was a new thing for everybody.
Oh, no.
I was just shocked because so we had seen the second one of this as a group, at least like three of us.
So
had.
Russell had gone by a gas station at one point and seen Dungeons and Dragons, like the Wrath of the Dragon God
yeah,
or whatever, sitting
like
on
that.
The shelf, and said, "Well, we gotta have a movie night now." So he bought it, and the D&D group all watched it, and it was
really bad.
Truly terrible.
It was very, very bad. The CGI, everything was bad. It was more what I would call D&D-esque than this movie.
Yeah, the second one was almost too D&D.
Like, it was like, you could see all of the stages of D&D happening.
Like, they called the characters by their class names.
It was like the barbarian, the rogue, the this, the that. Like, it was very interesting.
They spoon-fed.
Also, quick note. I saw this morning. Apparently, they're making a new Dungeons
yes,
& Dragons
they
movie
are.
Coming out in 2023 with Chris Pine and Michelle Rodriguez.
Whoa. Making a new Dungeons & Dragons,
okay.
Apparently.
Like
honestly, it'll probably be really good. Because that one was
I mean
we'll
with how popular it's become in nerd culture within the recent year,
yeah.
It probably will have a lot of help from popular celebrities like Joe Manganiello,
Vin Diesel. Yeah.
So
yeah.
They probably will seek out that kind of help and try. Making a D&D oriented movie is always such a challenge because it's such a free form type of game. So
John, you can probably lean away from your mic a bit. You're blasting me out over here.
Am I really?
Yeah, you can probably either turn it down or lean away.
I'll lean.
That's much better.
I'm used to my old microphone.
Like you're
yeah,
still
John's
blasting
got a new
it
setup,
out just because
so
you're loud.
John's
but, like,
going to go from
better.
Sounding worse than all of us on all the podcasts to sounding better than all of us on all the
I'm
podcasts.
Gonna laugh. I'm really going to laugh when you listen in and you're editing this and he sounds like garbage and you're just like, well. that didn't make any sense to
Should've
anyone listening.
Stuck with the snowball.
Hey, look, they need something too, all right?
True.
Okay, well, so this one, yeah, I'm actually very excited for the 2023 one now that I know about it, because I feel like it has to be better. It has to be.
With
but
how far CGI
is
coming.
This movie, yeah. This wasn't something that I wrote down, but this movie, like, almost derailed the ground that the fantasy genre had, like, gained, I guess. Because I think Lord of the Rings was being made, and so everyone knew it was going to be this huge, incredible thing. They were all excited. The first Harry Potter, I think, like had just come out or was about to come out.
I believe so.
Because I thought the first one came out in 2000, so it might have like just come out when this one did. Apparently, this movie almost just derailed the genre as a whole because everyone was like, "This is so bad," and like, and then they were like, well, "Now we don't want to go see like you know all the other stuff like you know Lord of the Rings or if Harry Potter was about to come out, they were like, we don't want to." So it like almost screwed up all those like big box office things apparently. but yeah, this one obviously came out in 2000. It was directed by Courtney Solomon and written by Topper Lillian and Carol Cartwright. And it stars Justin Whalen as Ridley and Zoe McClellan as Marina Pratensa. You can buy or rent this on Prime Video, Vudu, Apple TV, Google Play, or YouTube. And the IMDb summary for this says, Profian, a tyrant, attempts to overthrow a peaceful kingdom ruled by a tough empress. And now to you.
I have a question. Yes. How is he a tyrant? He's just a board member.
Well, that, and she didn't seem like she was, like, a tough empress. She just seemed like she was just trying to, like, do her job.
Yeah, she seemed like, she seemed very, like, Leia-esque,
But our director, Courtney Solomon, has two other credits, a movie called An American Haunting and a movie called Getaway. That's it.
Never
and then our of our writers, Topper Lillian.
That's not a real name.
That's a, apparently
Topper.
Topper Lillian has two other credits as well, Where the Money Is and Low Down. And Carol Cartwright has two other credits, Where the Money Is with Topper Lillian and What Maisie Knew. And also Gary Gygax is unfortunately an uncredited writer, which
yeah,
just makes me sad.
Yeah.
On a lot of levels. He's the guy who created
D&D. Created D&D.
Oh. Yeah.
So they put him under like the list of writers on IMDb right. for like the game. But he's not, like, actually credited with anything. Yeah, this... so, apparently, this wasn't something I wrote down, but two other big directors were either considering working on it or were, like, considered as being hired for it. Those directors, if you can believe it, were James Cameron and Frank Coppola.
Oh, my God,
Frank Coppola. If they could have gotten one of them to do this movie... Then it would have been exponentially better.
I saw that on the, like, because there really weren't that many, like, IMDb fun facts, so I went to, like, a different website to find some, and that was one of the ones on there. I was like, what?
I'm convinced this director just didn't care.
No.
And that's why it turned out so bad.
Yeah, it just seemed like she literally was like, just watch,
It's okay. I thought it was a she, too, because it was said Courtney, but this is a guy named Courtney.
Well, it seems like Courtney just, like, watched a bunch of movies like Shrek and some other stuff and was like, let's make that.
There's definitely some references.
Also Dungeons and Dragons.
Let's put all of this but in D&D.
Yeah, literally.
Why does the dwarf live in a swamp hole?
Also, oh, yeah, he's, like, the dwarf is, like, homeless. The dwarf just lives, at, like, on the side of the road, and that's how they find him.
Literally.
He's under a pile of garbage.
They just said... You know what? We need an exotic race that just isn't featured that often and is a little difficult to make. You know what? Dwarf. We're going to give him a dwarf.
They didn't even really make him short.
No.
In most of the scenes, he's level with the eyes. You can tell some scenes where they tried to do some forced perspective stuff with him, but most of the time, they just didn't care. And he was as tall as the rest of them.
Hey, all the size work and the forced perspective work was being done on Lord of the Rings at the time. That's they didn't true. Have any of those people to come and help them. So they were like, hey, can you just, like, be dwarfy and maybe people will think you're short? Like, good lord. Oh my God. But, all right, so... Any, thoughts before we dive into this plot here?
Snails was the best, boy.
Oh, I love Snails.
Yeah,
Snails was so great.
Yeah, the movie would have been even worse if Snails would not have been in it.
if Snails hadn't been in it, it would have brought it down a lot.
Yeah.
Before we get into it, because I don't want to get too hung up on it, his lipstick... stopped driving me insane. His, like, electric blue lipstick that he wore.
This is the bad guy. The bad guy.
Domadon.
Electric blue lipstick for no reason.
It was never explained. I thought maybe at some point it would explain, like, that he's even just a slightly different, like, you know, like he's a different race or something.
He's a variant
that has,
human.
Human, and I would have been like, oh, okay, he's just got, like, weird colored, like,
but
you know,
did
lips
that
or something.
A lot in the film. There was a lot of characters you would be like, okay, is that a tiefling? Or what, like, what
they,
are you?
Yeah. I almost feel like they just, they looked in, like, a movie effects, like, trailer that just had a bunch of, like, costumes, and they were like, none of these are D&D characters, but, like, we just need some interesting-looking creatures.
Right.
So let's just, like, throw some people in costumes and call it a day. And it's like, you didn't pick any of the things that actually exist.
I was going to say, I never seen a three-eyed D&D race before.
Right. That flicks his tongue out all the time.
Oh, my
goodness. I kept, like you said, I was like, is that supposed to be a tiefling? Like,
there was one guy who was just covered in red body paint.
Yeah, so, like, are those Genasis? Like, what is...
I have no clue. Through the whole thing, I think they were like, it's going to take too much time to make them look like the actual races they would be, so let's just, like... let's throw some green paint in their face and call it a
day. Or not even finish it on their neck.
I know. It was like it would be only on their face and then the makeup fades away down their neck. And I'm like, did they just like run out of time? What happened?
It's so funny because they put effort into certain things like the orc. I'm assuming they're orcs. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
But like the orc outfits and costume and makeup was like, they were really good.
I was like, it looks like they borrowed something from Jim Henson.
Right, it looked great, and it looked like out of like World of Warcraft kind of.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is cool. And then pan over to the next frame, and you see a guy just in red body paint.
Yeah.
And, also, some of the sets were really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing that makes sense. It's like some of the stuff, it's like they ran out of time. That's really what it feels like. It feels like halfway through filming the movie, they just ran out of time.
Well, so the reason some of the sets look good is that some of them were actual, like, on location and not on a stage.
Right.
Because there was one fun fact I found, I'd have to read it to make sure I don't read it wrong, but it was about, like, one of the locations there. But yeah, this one's weird because in the second one, it's all nobody actors, but in this movie, like, there's a decent amount of actors who have either, like, did a bunch of stuff before this or went on to do a lot more stuff.
Do all of them know how bad the movie is?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll get into the actual reason behind why Jeremy Irons did this movie, because there is a reason.
Like, I'll say this much. Comparatively, the acting in this one compared to the Wrath of the Dragon, Dragon Emperor or whatever.
Dragon God.
Well, it's phenomenally better.
Mic, my guy. You kind of ease.
I'm sorry. I'm used to my microphone. But the acting was phenomenally better compared to the second film.
Yeah.
It was definitely better. Still not from everybody great acting, but definitely an improvement. Definitely an improvement from the second one.
I wish y'all had seen the second one.
The second one was so bad.
It would have set up a standard.
So at some point we can force them to watch it.
Oh my God.
Okay, so let's get into this plot because it's very convoluted. So the Empire of Izmir has long been a divided land ruled by the mages, an elite group of powerful warlocks. In the capital of Sumdal, an evil mage named Profion creates a magical scepter that can allow him to control gold dragons. But his attempt to control an individual fails, and he is forced to kill it. As he begins to make new... Yeah, so I don't understand why they had, like, so much really intense violence at moments in this movie. Like, just in that first scene, the dragon gets chopped in half, essentially, by a door.
Oh, yeah.
They went full-on Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, they like...
They did.
It's like a door with spikes, and they just spike the dragon in half. And like, granted, the blood was just cringy, because it was CGI blood.
Yeah, it definitely could have been practical.
It could have been practical blood, and instead they decided on the CGI. Don't know why, but here we are.
Because it's easier to set CGI blood on fire.
Yeah, apparently. Apparently.
I've never seen a lake burn before.
They were so calm about that part.
You're just
so calm about this lake.
Kind of like looking
fire.
At the Eiffel Tower.
They didn't ask questions.
No, it's like this lake is on fire now.
And then they look up and they're like, the magic school.
Yeah, so he begins to make new plans. The dragon bleeds into a nearby river, causing it to catch fire, because I guess dragon blood and water catches on fire, which many inhabitants of Sumdal notice, including a pair of teenage thieves, Ridley and his best friend, Snails.
They're supposed to be teenagers?
Apparently.
Okay.
Yeah, they're
good
teenagers. So later, Profion and the Council of Mages...
Wait, hold on.
Oh my God.
Snails deliberately...
Leave the mic, John.
Yeah, he says he's 22.
He says he's 23.
Yeah, he was like, when he was talking
to the
elf.
If we start picking this movie,
yeah.
We're
going to
go through
the
movie.
Sorry, me and John are like
really scared. Wait a second.
You're probably correct and Wikipedia is just wrong, because this is from Wikipedia that I'm reading this.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so later, Profion and the Council of Mages discuss the controversial views of Empress Savina, who wants to give rights to non-mages in Izmir. When the council threatens to confiscate from her the scepter that allows her to control gold dragons, she decides to seek the Rod of Savril, which has the power to control red dragons.
Listen, she needs the rod.
She needs the rod. She just,
because that's the clear answer when you're an emperor and people are worried about how much power you have.
Is to
amass
more
power.
Like, instead of just seeming very, like, level-headed and not worried and, like, having the people on your side. No, go seek out this far more, like, dangerous rod to just become more powerful. Yeah, they use the word rod a lot in this movie. It was concerning. So Profion learns of this and decides to take the rod himself. Meanwhile... Sorry.
Oh, come on! You finally decided. That's unfair.
The innuendos are strong.
Oh, God. Okay. So, meanwhile, Ridley and Snails break into the Sumdal Magic School, which was just Hogwarts. He looked up at this castle and was like, the magic school. And I was like, okay, literally Hogwarts, but all right. They're discovered by a young mage named Marina. She's distracted when the library wizard is held hostage. I'm sorry, the phrase library wizard just really got me. Is held hostage and interrogated by Profion's assistant Damodar for information on the map to the rod. After the wizard refuses to talk and sends the map over to Marina, Damodar kills him, because Damodar is really about killing people in this movie. He does not care at all.
And his blue lips.
And his blue lips. I can't get over. Like, I don't get it. Why? Why was that the choice? He could have just not had it, and nothing would have changed.
But you remember it, and I think that's what they wanted. They were like, I want people
They wanted
to
people talking about the makeup, even if it was talking about what wild choices it was. So yes, he kills him, and Marina travels through a portal to escape, definitely just Dimension Door, through a portal to escape, unintentionally taking the thieves with her. After crashing into a pile of garbage, they meet a dwarf named Elwood, who ends up joining the three's escape through the sewers. There is no reason for this dwarf to be here.
He just is.
Like,
I don't even think they introduce him, like, on a name level.
Not for a minute. No. Yeah. He's just shown as the dwarf that's with them, and, like, that's it.
I just want you to know the party is being formed.
Yeah, and it's definitely a party where, like, one character came in and did not make any bonds with anybody.
Backstory.
Yeah, really? So he just came in and was like, I'm just gonna play, like, and is with the party for no reason at all. Oh gosh, this dwarf. So, Damodar. Oh yeah, and the dwarf is played by a guy from Pirates of the Caribbean. Yep.
Hello, puppet.
I was gonna say, you want to do that for them? Yeah, Damodar puts a price on Marina, Ridley, Snails, and Elwood's heads after letting Profion know that the group got away with the map. Profion creates a tentacled monster inside Damodar, which painfully possesses him.
Oddly sexual.
Yes. The scene with like him and your girl linked up, I was like, this is some kind of like, I don't know what's going on.
The constant cut back and forth from the like the medium shot to like the close up.
I started to worry that I was like had something wrong with me.
No. Sam said the exact same thing. He was like,
hey,
a little weird.
You gotta admit, the electric blue lipstick contrasted with those obnoxiously bright red ears she had for the whole show.
Those are CG, right? Like, at one point...
No, they just look weird with makeup, I think.
I don't know. I didn't notice if they were CG. I didn't notice.
I thought they were practical. But
I think they're practical, they just their makeup was bad.
Because it was, like, shocking blue lipstick, bright red ears... And then just a pale face with just normal makeup.
Yeah.
Like, when the rest of him is, like, fallen apart, they didn't move any of the falling apart to his face. It was just his neck and, like, skull.
Yeah, they stopped it, like, right.
Yeah, it was like, no, but his face has to look really good. That's in his contract, so we can't touch his face, but we can make the rest of him look insane. Yeah, so, the group hides inside of a tavern and reads the map that Ridley and Marina get sucked into. They never explain what getting sucked into the map
or even
meant.
What happened, really.
Yeah, because they came out and they were in love.
They came out and they were suddenly... It was like they had been gone for days and, like, something crazy happened in there because they looked at each other all like, we have a secret now. Yeah. And Snails was like, ugh, like y'all hooked up or something and now, like, there's a bond that I can't break or something. Like, it was so weird.
I almost am 100% certain there's a deleted scene that they just decided not to put in the movie. Because...
Like, the scene that you see in CG on the map, like, actually happened, and we just didn't... Instead of showing us the scene, they showed us that.
Yeah, they didn't have a budget for it or something.
Yeah, like, they just couldn't get them. But they even said, like, someone told us this thing. So
yeah, they're like, we talked to the Wraith.
Yeah, who was, like, inside the map. And I'm like, why didn't we see that scene?
That would have been more.
That would have been a cool scene.
Instead of telling us, why didn't you just show us?
Yeah, show us what happens in the map. Nothing important happened out here except the dwarf got drunker. Like, that's all that happened outside of the map. Show us what happened inside the map.
The orc started poking with a spear, so I started chewing on it. Nom, nom, nom.
Oh my goodness, John! I'm gonna need you to just push your mic about 6 inches away from you. There we go.
Is it that bad?
Yeah, because you keep leaning in to like make out with it, and I can't like on the thing here. It's like fully white across the board. Like you are blasting it out.
It's crying for.
I don't know the full power of this microphone right now.
Yeah, it's okay.
I don't know the power.
Or the dark
just
side.
If you know you're going to get louder, maybe lean back a few inches and then be loud, because it will pick you up, I promise. Like, there's no risk of you not getting picked up by that mic.
I'm being heard, right?
This entire side of the table gets nothing.
If you're being the volume you were when you were just, like, laughing just now, and you can then you can do it at that distance, but if you're going to be, like, quieter, you have to lean in more. Yeah, so they go into the map, and they, I guess, find out all the stuff we don't get to see. So then Damodar and his minions attack Elwood and Snails, but they escape with the map. This is when Snails... Yeah, because they just show us the whole, like...
chase scene. And,
yeah, the chase scene and, like, and him flirting fight. With the elf girl and all this stuff.
They had to introduce the elf girl.
They had to introduce elf girl, which elf girl was beautiful. They just did her dirty with that armor later on. Because she was fine here in the beginning, and then they put that armor on her, and I was like, oh, boy.
Chiseled abs and nipple armor.
That really was. It was, like, full... like anatomically correct armor of
not,
what's
not
underneath.
Even really abs, just like
no, there were abs. It was belly button, abs, and nipples, like on the armor. And I was like, this was we know what's underneath. You don't have to show us. Like we don't need it. Oh my god!
By the way,
so
in case y'all didn't remember, I kind of thought so. Damodar.
I thought he looked familiar. Guy? Who is he?
He was the main bad guy of the second one.
No, that's a fun fact I have. Yeah, is that there's a reason that he didn't die in this first one, apparently. Yeah, he's...
I've forgotten that.
Because I looked at him and I was like, he looks like the bad guy from the second one. And then when I was looking up the fun fact, sure enough, he is the bad guy from the second one. But yeah, so... They escape with the map. Ridley and Marina get out of the map and all decide to work together to find the rod. They must first find a ruby called the Eye of the Dragon that can open the door to a tomb containing the scepter.
But only one eye.
No, because it has two eyes.
But you only need to find
one
of them.
To open it up. I told Sam that's literally like a DM who just, like, you were supposed to get two items, but then you went so far past the other item that
they had
the DM
to give you
was
a,
like,
they had to
I'm just
going to
give you an out. One eye will work, because if you go all the way back, it's going to be, like, four more weeks. Like,
well, like, legit, when he was in the maze, like, the way he would solve the puzzles didn't make sense. Like, or not the maze, but, like,
the
dungeon. The
obstacle course
thing.
Yeah,
it was like, how do I get out of this? I need to get the key in the hole. I'll just smash this light bulb.
Oh, yeah, that one didn't make any sense.
The last puzzle, I think everything up to that point, like, okay.
Everything up to that point, that he made was sense. Figuring out, and I was like, okay, like, that makes sense. But then with that one, I was like, he just smashed something and hoped it worked. Like,
and they were like, you know what? We don't want to have to rebuild that.
Apparently, the only reason they did that is because the Rocky Horror guy hosted a game show called The Crystal Maze that was very similar. What? So they were like, let's just make a version of the game show and put it in here for him to have to beat as, like, just a fun homage to what he does every week.
Okay.
Yeah, I looked that up and I was like, oh, okay. Like, that makes sense now why that was there. But yeah, so That also sounds like a really fun game show. I would have enjoyed that. But yes, so the Eye is held by the Thieves Guild in the city of Antaeus, whose leader, Xylus, reveals it to be in a maze puzzle of traps and promises to give the group the Eye of the Dragon if Ridley successfully solves it, which he does. Damodar suddenly arrives to capture him and his friends. Marina is captured instead, while Ridley, Snails, and Elwood escape with the Eye of the Dragon, meeting an elf named Norda, who works for the Empress Savina, whom she thus informs about Profian's plans upon hearing them from Ridley. So there's a lot going on. Marina gets captured in just a really weird way, because the way she gets dragged out of the room is definitely just walking backwards. Because Damodar's just walking ahead of her, and she's like just turned around facing him, like sobbing as she just walks backward out of this room. Very, very odd choices. But in his castle, Damodar interrogates Marina and uses the tentacles in his mind to gain her knowledge. That's just the weird scene. It went on way too long.
Yeah.
Too many close-ups on her face. Like, yeah. there was too really? Much happening. That was weird.
Really, Wikipedia? Tentacles in his mind. I mean, that's the word.
Like, how else do you explain
it? How else do you explain it? There are little tentacle mouth things that come out and then suck in your ears and take your brain. That's what they do.
Take your brain.
I mean, they take things out of your brain.
You mean information?
Yes, they take information.
You would want to forget how to go to the bathroom? I've got you.
Oh, no. You just take that knowledge away. I don't think it actually took it. I think it just detected it. I think it went in and just read her thoughts, because I thought it would have been a really cool choice if it had gathered all of the information that she had, like, learned since before meeting Ridley. And I thought when he came in to rescue her, she was going to be like, "Who are you?" and, like, not remember him. And I was like, that would have been cool.
Yeah.
I kept waiting for that. And then she just hugs him, and I'm like... missed opportunity for some real drama. That would have been awesome.
Like, wet-willied for like 5 minutes.
She really did, by this gross tentacle. It just like went in her ear for like 5 minutes and just like wriggled around in there. It was so gross. But Ridley and Snails break into Damodar's castle to rescue Marina, while Norda and Elwood stay behind. After Ridley and Snails decide to split up, Ridley finds and rescues Marina, but Snails is confronted by Damodar after he finds the map, and a fight ensues between the two, with Damodar gaining the upper hand. Because this is the whole, like, sad part. When Ridley and Marina arrive, Snails throws the map to his comrades, but at the cost of his own life, as he is killed by Damodar before being thrown off the castle. I don't understand that.
I don't either.
Even when it happened, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
It's like he's holding the map and he's like, "I'm gonna die," and just like throws the map at them all willy-nilly, and then Damodar is like, "All right, you moved the map slightly from my location."
Yeah.
Stabbed.
Yeah,
like,
he used his reaction to stab.
Yeah, like, I guess. I don't know. That didn't
make
any sense.
So the timing was poor.
Like, I don't understand. Maybe he was just like, "I'm already, like, on the brink of death and y'all need to get out of here, so here's the map," and, like, tossed it away, and then the guy was like, "Arr, you gave them the map, dead." Like, it really didn't make
we
sense.
We have to give our hero a compelling reason to keep doing the quest.
Yeah, and the only reason to do that is by killing the best character, for sure.
Snails was the best character.
Snails was the best.
Yeah.
He was hilarious.
Next to Elwood.
Elwood was just there for a paycheck. He was not there for anything else.
It's true. He does say on the rock, like, "Who's paying me?"
Yeah, he's
and
just like,
just
"All point right,
to Marina,"
I need
and he's
money.
Like,
"No,
we'll talk about
he
that
looked
later.
Directly into the camera." Remember that?
Yes, he did that a couple of times where he just looked straight into the camera and was just like, "They're so crazy," or something
like
that.
I thought that I was
there
going
was,
insane.
No, he looked right at the
there
camera.
There was one shot where, like, he was, like, in frame. I don't remember what shot it was, but he was in frame and he just raises an eyebrow staring directly into the camera.
I don't like when stuff like that
happens. And just big old eyeball just...
It hadn't been broken before, and then everyone walks away from him.
Yeah.
And it tightens on the dwarf's face as he focuses his gaze on the camera and starts talking to the camera. And I'm like, are we a character in this? Like, what are we doing?
We're the dwarf.
They filmed it like that. Like, I literally felt like every single... Like, the way that the camera was panned was as if we were supposed to be on the journey with them. That's Maybe. How it came across to me, and I was like, I don't want to be on this journey.
I don't want to be in this. I just want to observe this.
Yeah. Please stop talking to me.
So Ridley, infuriated and filled with rage, attacks Damodar to avenge his friend, but he disarms him and stabs Ridley with his own sword. In the confusion, Marina grabs some magic dust and creates a magic portal to escape with Ridley. Which, I guess, I felt very smart for actually catching on to the why of that. Because this whole time we were like, just cast spells. But she left her arcane focus behind. She can't cast spells without a component pouch. And so, like, yep. She had to run to the component pouch to, like, grab some stuff and cast a spell. And I felt so smart that I was the one who was like, oh, I know why she can't do it yet.
quick note. Sorry, I just found this. They've already completed filming on the new one.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Filming production wrapped about 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
So, and 2 years you were right. Of editing Joe, and CGI.
Joe Manganiello, I don't know that he's in it, but he's producing it.
Wow.
He was the one who got it back off the ground. Because it had been stuck in production hell, and he went
well, apparently
and got
the first
it,
one
back
had
off
to deal
ground.
With a bunch of production
knowing,
hell.
Knowing Joe, he will settle for nothing... Nothing less than the best.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't want to bring his character into it. But anyway,
moving on. Meanwhile, during a council meeting, Profian and Savina's factions decide to battle for control of Izmir using magic. Which Sam sides with the council on this.
Yeah.
Sam was like, I think the council was correct. She seems unstable.
She attacks the council with an army of gold dragons.
Well, I mean, she did warn them.
I think I missed that one.
Nah, man. She needed to be deposed.
At the same time, an elf heals Ridley along with Norda's soldiers. Later, Marina finds Ridley and tries to help him get over the death of snails, but Ridley, still feeling remorseful of his friend's death, angrily scolds her for letting snails die instead of saving him. After a brief argument between the two, in which Marina convinces Ridley that Snail's death was not in vain, they eventually forgive each other and become love interests in the same scene. They go from yelling at each other and screaming at each other to just, like, making out.
No, they were love interests whenever they came out of the map.
Oh, that's true, because there was, like, that weird look between them.
Well, it was like they were trying to give us Leia and Han vibes. Like, they were, like...
I mean, the whole time, yeah. Like, just the attire that they put Ridley in was Han Solo, straight up. Yeah, and like you said, I think he was just someone obsessed with Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Because there
Even
was, like...
he was in the obstacle course.
Yes!
Yeah, he did his...
It was all Indiana Jones stuff. Yeah. It was so ridiculous. They really wanted this to be Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it was not.
It didn't happen.
Ridley later uses the Eye of the Dragon to enter the tomb that contains the rod. It is held by a skeleton that comes to life and tells Ridley that he is Savril, now cursed for trying to control red dragons, and anyone who wields the power of the rod shall suffer a horrible fate. But Damodar arrives to steal the rod anyway. I know you really loved the
skeleton
guy.
Skeleton was cool.
I like the skeleton guy.
It was the coolest part in the movie.
Was just the talking skeleton. I thought he was going to have to battle the skeleton.
I know, I did too.
And then, no.
Nothing.
Disappointment.
Yeah.
But Damodar returns to Sundal with the rod, where the Empress and her gold dragons are battling the mages following Profian below to bring it to... So he is following Profian below to bring it to Profian, but Ridley and his friends follow in pursuit. Profian removes the monster from Damodar and uses the rod to summon red dragons, which battle the gold dragons and slowly begin to win the fight. Ridley comes across Damodar, duels him with his new magic sword, because he got himself a magic item, and then successfully wounds the latter before finishing him off by hurling Damodar off the castle wall to his death. We'll get to that. Finally avenging Snails. He then attacks Profion, who disarms him and shoves him back. Ridley's companions arrive and fight Profion one at a time, and Ridley picks up the fallen rod and uses it to stop the red dragons, which... his whole thing where he's holding the rod and, like, the madness is, like, overtaking him and he's, like, just staring up at it. It wasn't in this, like, majestic, staring at it. It was a very, like, hunched shoulder, like, very, like, ratty almost, like, the way he was looking at it. It was freaking me out. I didn't like it. I thought they needed to have a more majestic final moment with him.
What was that part where I made you rewind?
It was the guy at the door, because Ridley was trying to escape and this guy opens the door to come at him.
Also, quick side note, in that whole bit where they're going into that the castle, I guess, I don't know,
something,
and for some reason they didn't use them at all. They were just like there as a little like Easter egg, the beholder.
They just wanted to. They just wanted to put it in, so like an iconic monster in the movie that wasn't a dragon. So like, what's up next on that list? Beholder. I thought they were gonna throw a lich in with the skeleton, but that obviously.
But then they didn't use any of them.
No, they just show you. They were watchdogs. Just a reminder: this is D&D.
The beholder actually didn't look terrible. Oh, is your beholder mini over there?
No.
Yeah, we got one right there behind John.
John, show it.
Aww.
Don't drop it.
I got it.
Oh, cool.
Hi, little guy.
That looks so much better than what was in the movie. So much better.
Well, that's courtesy of Ben, I think. Didn't he paint
that? Yeah, I want to say that's Ben's.
Yeah,
that's
cool. It's Ben's. Ben left it here.
He just... people leave things here.
We have so many minis.
We have a lot.
For D&D, but yet we hardly use them.
How about...
We're getting better.
Do you want to put some sugar in that while I'm finishing the rest of the plot read? Thank you. It's so bad. Thank you. Okay. So, Marina encourages Ridley to use the rod to bring Profion down.
I need you to recount how many times you said rod.
It's been 50 times at this point.
Take a shot every time someone says rod in this movie.
You'd be done.
We're also sponsored by Rods.
We're sponsored by Rods R Us. Yes, so Ridley, realizing the rod's power will corrupt him, refuses and destroys it. Empress Savina arrives and condemns Profion, who fights her with powerful magic, but she summons a gold dragon which devours Profion, ending the battle and Profion's reign of terror. Ridley later visits Snail's grave with Norda, Marina, and Elwood, and pays tribute to his fallen comrade. When he places the eye of the dragon on the grave, Snail's name disappears, and Norda tells Ridley not to question his abilities. Norda then uses the eye of the dragon to transport Ridley to another place in the world where his friend would wait for him, along with herself, Marina, and Elwood.
To another place in the world?
Apparently they were teleporting.
Oh. I thought they died too.
I thought that was the meaning of life, is you change the world and then you shoot up into the sky like a star.
Yeah, I thought it was like you made a difference, but now let's all just
The way they set that up, I was straight up expecting like Snails to walk out from behind a tree.
Yeah.
Like he's like all the
Same.
Yeah.
I thought when they put the stone was going to have like magical properties and was going to resurrect him.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Is like, oh, divine intervention. He's about to get resurrected. Uh-huh. Like, but no. Instead, they all just disappear in sparkles. And it's like but where are they? Because like, she was like, your friend awaits you. And I'm like, his friend's dead everywhere in the world. There's not another place in the world where he's going to be alive.
Yeah.
I think originally, and judging by, like, there aren't, like, specifically any fun facts about this, but I think originally they were supposed to be the same cast in the second movie, so it was supposed to, like, pick up with, like, somehow, like, they found snails somewhere.
The search for snails.
Yeah, something like that.
Escargot.
That's what...
The journey for escargot.
Oh, my gosh. Oh boy.
The revenge of snails.
The garbage.
What are those spider movies? Arachnophobia.
There was a lot of spiders. No, that was Harry
that
Potter.
Was that Harry was Harry Potter. Because we watched
Sam
the rest
that's
of Chamber
a whole
Secrets
wrong
right after
movie.
This movie.
Oh my God. My bad.
No, but apparently, I think they were originally going to use the same cast and characters, and then none of them wanted to come back, so they were like, all right, new characters.
Whole new cast.
But yeah, so that was Dungeons and Dragons, guys.
Okay.
So now, since you guys haven't been on here before, we have to rename this movie.
Oh, gosh.
So what would you guys, I know what I would rename
okay,
it.
Let me think.
No, I would call it The Search for the Rod. That's, that's all I would call it.
Or The Rod.
Just The Rod. That sounds like a horror movie. Like
it
how
does.
Horror movies
the
are
rod.
The and something, like The Rod.
Yeah, it's like The Rod. This is not a porno. It's a journey.
The Rod is just the what is it called? Spoof of The Ring.
Yeah.
That's what I'm imagining. John, you were perfect before.
The
you
War of Dragons.
Back. You were perfect.
The War of Dragons.
Okay.
War of
Dragons. That makes it sound like Game of Thrones-y.
Yeah.
What was the main character's name?
Ridley.
So, what is it? What's that? What's that Riddick movie? Chronicles of Riddick. So
Chronicles of Ridley.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Ridley.
Less Vin Diesel. Isn't that who that was in that movie? Vin Diesel.
Yeah, it was Vin Diesel.
Or maybe more Vin Diesel. Put
you're
more
the last
Vin
one.
You know what
John,
that might have been?
Yeah,
better.
I
right. The title.
I know. I know.
You're not, he's a huge D&D nerd.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Could have had cars.
Oh, I just got that picture that you accidentally sent me.
I'm sorry.
I opened it and was like, what? Come on, John. This is your moment.
I know. I know.
This
I'll play the music in the background.
Is the movie with David Tennant going to be a musical or not?
No.
Okay.
And it's a series.
Oh, it's a series. No wonder you're so excited.
Yeah.
His favorite boy is going to be Dr. Jekyll in a new Jekyll and Hyde series.
I love
series.
That he posted it on Instagram.
Yeah.
You posted
that.
It on
I
Instagram?
I was so excited.
Oh my gosh.
Like, not even to his stories, it was an actual...
Yeah, like
it's
post
there
post.
Forever.
I was so, and I am so excited.
I mean, I would do that if it turned out that he got cast as Skullduggery in Skullduggery Pleasant. Yeah. I would do the same thing. I would be like, the dream has happened. We wanted him to be this character.
It's only because I know what the title of the second movie is, and I'm not a big fan of it, but I just don't know what else to call this movie. The Rise of the Dragon God.
Okay, because then the next one's The Wrath of the Dragon God.
Yeah,
all right.
Sense. Rise of the Rod.
Oh, God. No.
I like that better. The Rise of the Rod, a D&D story.
Oh, my God.
That's good.
The Rise of the Rod, a D&D porno.
Oh, that's what it sounds like, for real. And there were so many moments in this movie where I was like, this is legitimately just like, I feel like it's leading to a porn scene,
yeah.
But I know it's
they
not.
It had the production quality.
It had the production
it's
quality it. Of a porn, and like the way that they would just like start certain scenes, like when he walks into where she is and she's like on her knees, like bound, and he walks up and is like, I need to figure out what you can do. And I was just like, this is literally just like a scene out of a porno.
Oh,
but
God.
Instead, it's just like, well, I guess it's a kind of porn because he puts tentacles like into
yeah.
her body.
That's
like,
what I said. I was like, this
a
is tentai. Tentacle porn.
Like, so I guess it does end a little bit of the way
a
we tentai. Thought it would. It was just not like a good thing at all. It was a bad thing. But yeah, so I went on Amazon. General consensus is 61% rated it 5 stars.
That
do y'all want positive or negative first?
Positive.
Positive, okay.
Positive.
So this comes to us this year. Actually, no, sorry, last year from Victoria Barnes, and it's titled A Must-See Adventure. Anything that truly moves you is art. With that being said, this film is an excellent representation of a masterfully crafted work of art. The plot throughout the film grows as thick as Jeremy Irons' voice.
What?
Would I watch it again? Probably not. But that doesn't mean one shouldn't experience it. Best $3 I've spent on a rental. Also, the black guy from White Chicks is in this movie, and he provides superb comic relief. 9 out of 10. And then 5 stars.
Oh my God.
So in other words, snails made
yes,
this film.
Snails
yeah.
made the movie.
Yeah.
And then this one is from M.E.Z. Miller, and it's titled, Not the D&D Movie We Deserve. It says, my hopes were high for a D&D movie. Make sure yours are not. Fun for 8 to 13-year-olds and has some fun for D&D lovers, but is not very well made. It hasn't held up well through the years. The special effects were a bit meh when it came out and look even worse now. Mm. I only gave it 2 stars instead of 1 because I like D&D. 2 stars.
Wow. Yeah,
that, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about the dragon getting split open the spire.
That was
awful. So there was a dragon that got shot through with this, like, harpoon crossbow thing.
Yeah.
And then as it's falling, it gets, like, spired on, like, a tower.
Top of a roof.
And then starts sliding, and its body is splitting open.
It was so
like,
nasty.
It was so gross.
You can see the guts, like,
I know! We
out.
All, like, started screaming.
Yeah.
Like, this is so horrible.
What did that dragon do?
No! So, someone just really wanted to, like, have a higher budget for their effects and, like, wanted to do, like, gore and stuff. What's happening? Oh gosh, the headdress. We need to.
Gosh.
The Empress wears this headdress in this one scene.
It was very reminiscent of
Padme
in episode 1.
That I don't know.
Yeah,
very
I mean that's what I think the vibe one. That they were trying to go for is like, okay, obviously the costume design in Star Wars, I mean, especially with Padme is like I mean, was it, what do you say? Chef's kiss? It was so
chef's
good.
Kiss.
But on this, it's like literally the back piece looks like a chicken, 2 chicken feet put together. And then the head looks like alien, some kind of,
yeah.
It's just like.
It's like a jester's cap was shrunk down and then put on her forehead.
Just the forehead.
Like, and it's just like these little dingly,
yeah.
Like, looking things
yeah.
That jiggle around the whole scene and is really distracting right
like
on her forehead.
It looks like it came off of like
I don't even remember what happened during that scene. I just remember being like, why does she look like a
that's
alien?
Like the scene with the game show guy with the girl in the background.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we have to talk about that.
No.
That girl literally
oh
went
gosh.
Around his head.
Yes.
Just so she could be in the frame. She's
yes.
Like, I'm going to be a star. This is going to be one of the best movies that they ever released in the whole time.
Yes. The game show guy has like all these, you know, women in his quarters
yeah.
or whatever. They're like feeding him grapes and stuff. And she takes one little grape and like it's focusing on him so she is right behind him and leans around so
yeah.
that you can see her and she's like making all these like you know sexy expressions and like nibbling on the grape and like all this stuff and it's like she was modeling right there behind the actor and I just loved it so much.
Yeah, it was a great moment. I again that was the same scene where I don't know what they were talking about.
No,
I was
focusing
yeah.
on her. I was
there
like,
were so many scenes that were like that where there would be something else you'd be focusing on
yes.
and you'd miss whatever was actually
and
happening.
Then you'd be like, huh, what's happening? It's like that scene in Game of Thrones I always talk to you about
yeah.
where I'm like, I still don't remember what was talked about in that scene. So, now y'all get to guess. What do you think this is rated critically on Rotten Tomatoes?
What is that? What is the rating on?
It is out of 100, so it's a percentage.
But it's a percentage of positive to negative, so it's
yeah.
not like the IMDb score, it's like out of 10 stars. This is like how many reviews of it are positive.
Yeah.
30%.
I would say like 10% of
I'd say like 21%.
Okay,
I'd say like
John?
30.
Maybe
I'm gonna go with 35%.
How'd you lean in? What have I been telling you?
35%.
Go with. Well, Sam Marie, you got it. It was 10%.
Oh
you had it.
Oh wow.
And now the audience score is also out of 100, but this is positive reviews from audience members and not critics.
Okay.
Okay. 1 out of 100. So.
This is 1 out of 100.
It's a percentage, so
yeah.
It's yeah.
36%.
Okay.
39%.
I'm gonna stick with 30.
Okay.
I'm gonna stick with like 15%.
You're still the closest. It's 20%.
Wow.
You're still the closest. And now yeah. and now this is IMDb out of 10. There can be like percentages and
right.
this is the average rating that people gave it out of 10.
I would say like a 3.
Okay.
I'm a 2.
3.1.
Okay.
3.2.
Well, John, you're the closest because it was 3.7.
There we go.
So the budget, I think you might have just been a little bit dyslexic, Brett, because it's 45
dyslexic.
Million, not 54 million. But 45 million is still
really
a lot for this movie. to become what it
we
is.
We need to stop and talk about Brett's dyslexia. We're going
to
take a moment.
We need to have an intervention.
How do you have an intervention about dyslexia? How do you solve that?
An intervention figure on a out, podcast. Guys.
That's so a B, not a D, listen. Brett!
No, it's okay. John can't read, so it's fine. John's
You're
blind.
Exactly blind.
He really is blind.
I'm so sorry.
John.
I feel like he shouldn't have a driver's license. He's so blind.
Oh my God.
I can drive fine.
He can't read road signs.
No,
I can read road signs.
You can read a stop sign. You can't read anything else except a stop sign.
I can read.
Do you know how fast you're going when you're...
Yes!
We're sitting here playing poker at this table. He's sitting where Danielle is. We have cards out right here, and he's all like... I got a pair of queens.
And he puts down like
and he
a
puts
queen.
Down the
and
card.
We all look
and we
go,
all look and we're like, where do you
no
have more
other
queens?
Queens?
And he points at the card and goes, that. And we go,
that's a
John,
jack.
That's a jack.
It's like 2 feet from you, if that. And it's a jack. Like, and then he did it again at the end of the round. He was like, I win 3 queens. And like, instead, he just has 2 queens. And we're like, John, you still only have a pair
of
queens.
You should.
No queens.
You should just go with it next time and like, just be like, yeah, that you did it.
I can see.
No, you can't.
No, you can't, John. Don't try to fight it.
I
know you're blind.
I can see.
So, this one had the budget of $45 million. The box office got close-ish to earning their money back. They made $33.8 million. So, it wasn't, like, awful, but it was still a loss. So, the fun facts I found... Jeremy Irons did this film because he had just bought and was renovating a castle and had to have the money to pay for it, he did this movie. That's legitimately the only reason. In an interview, they asked him why he did this movie, and his quoting response was, are you kidding? I just bought a castle. I had to pay for it somehow. Oh my God. And that is exactly what he said in response to why he did this movie.
Wow.
So the bones visible in Prothean's lair are real. These scenes were filmed in Sedlick Ossuary,
look like plastic.
No. They were in a small chapel in the Czech Republic. It's decorated with the bones of people who were buried in the surrounding cemetery, but had to be moved to make room for the chapel and new burials. So people have decided to decorate the castle with old bones.
That set wasn't haunted.
Yeah, so that was a haunted set for sure. And... that shot was like just because then I guess maybe that's why they did that reveal of the game show guy, because he's a game show host.
Yeah.
And so maybe like they had him turn around like that, so everyone was like, oh, he's the Crystal Maze guy. Like, maybe that was
for us. It was like,
for
somebody
us, we were
Google
like,
it right now.
Yeah, we were like, who is this guy? We don't know who he is. So another ending was shot where Empress Savina destroys her rod and proclaims the heroes champions of the throne. According to the director, Courtney Solomon, this was such a bad idea that he didn't even put it on the DVD.
Oh.
That he was like, no, Ridley has to be the one to, like, destroy the thing. If she does it, then what was even the point of them doing anything? So the trailers for this film listed none of the cast, not even Jeremy Irons. During the fight with the large guard before the scene with Snails and Damodar, Justin Weiland's head split open when he was thrown into the stone wall.
Oh, no.
Ow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So that happened. And that was, I believe, the scene that we were talking about that you rewinded, because the guy's laugh when he opened the door was closed teeth, open lips, and just like a laugh through his teeth. It was so crazy.
Oh, here it is!
Yes, that right there! That's the shot! That's the shot! No, yeah, so Damodar, this is about him coming back. So he comes back in the second movie due to a retcon. It was revealed that Prothean had cursed him with undeath, so he survived getting stabbed and thrown off the tower. He also survives the end of the second movie, though he's imprisoned in a dungeon at the end.
Oh.
So he just never dies.
So did they just recast the part in the second one?
No, it was the same guy, because I looked at him and was like, this is the guy from the second movie.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was the same guy. They got him to come back, but nobody else. So this was sort of all about, like, the production issues that happened with it. So, the D&D movie was a victim of numerous rights and ownership issues that were as damaging as the lawsuits that almost killed the game itself. Courtney Solomon purchased the rights to Dungeons & Dragons, though he signed off on giving the controllers of the license, TSR at the time, the last say on director and script approval. This is what brought Solomon into conflict with Lorraine Williams, I'm not sure who that is, which led to James Cameron and Francis Ford Coppola being rejected. So apparently they were just, like, not even allowed to direct it.
Why?
I don't know.
That's so stupid.
Things took a turn for the worse when Wizards of the Coast bought the rights to Dungeons & Dragons. Production on the movie was finally starting when they had to shut it down due to a lawsuit from Wizards of the Coast. This started a court battle between Courtney Solomon and Wizards of the Coast, which ended with a settlement that required the movie to start production immediately. The investors forced Solomon to take over as the director and made him do an earlier script that he had previously rejected. It was these issues combined that killed what could have been probably a decent movie. Is that they didn't have nearly as much time to do anything. He had to use a script that he didn't want, like, all this stuff that basically created this movie to be, like, not as good as it could have been.
Right.
So it could have been better. And Solomon, it probably wasn't even Courtney Solomon's fault. It was just you didn't have any time to work on it, and you have to use a crappy script.
Literally, legally, they were boxed into a corner.
Yeah, for sure.
That's rough.
Yeah. So that explains that really more about this
That's
movie.
Rough,
yeah.
buddy.
Yeah, I looked at all that and was like, oh my gosh, this drama. Still nothing will compare to the drama I talked about in Dr. Doolittle with everything that happened on that set with the animals and everything.
Oh my gosh.
I just remembered that fun
nothing
fact out of nowhere.
Nothing compares to Dr. Doolittle.
No.
Is this the original one or the Eddie Murphy?
The original.
Were they mean to the animals?
I'm sure.
The animals were just crazy because I guess they didn't have good animal handlers. And so, like, sorry. I think at one point, one of them, spit up on the main guy, like they were all just running amok a bunch of the time, and then someone tried to bomb the set using a homemade bomb. Apparently it was all crazy. You can look it up on IMDb. There is a full paragraph on everything that was wrong with that set and how horrible, like, filming on it was. Like, there is a whole thing on it.
Wow.
But yeah, so now we get to recast each other, not celebrities, not Christian Bale as Russell Voss, because we were like, all right, recast this movie, and he was like, I think Christian Bale could play this guy, and we're like, no, we mean Among
Ridley
Us.
Ridley played by Christian Bale.
I mean, Sam is Ridley.
John is Elwood.
Absolutely, John is Elwood, for sure. You are Ridley.
I think I would be Sivan, the Empress.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that's very accurate.
I think Brett is Profion.
Oh, Profion?
Which one is that?
Jeremy Irons.
I was going to say you were Crystal Maze game show guy.
Oh, I was going to say Damodon.
Oh, we all think different characters for Brett, apparently. Well, now you have to do me.
Multiple personalities.
The tentacles.
No!
I love the genuine reaction, just offense of just no.
I don't want to be the tentacle.
No, I definitely think that, like, yours is pretty obvious. You would be Chica
Tracker, elf tracker.
No, I think you would be the mage.
Oh yeah,
Marina.
Yeah.
Like, I could see that.
I'm totally okay with the choice. She was just so annoying.
I know. You would do a better job.
She annoyed me really bad.
She was a little whiny, but I'll say this, very attractive.
Favorite and least favorite moments from this one.
None of the above.
My favorite moment was everything Snails did, because I really
enjoyed
it. I was just thinking
that.
Everything Snails did, I enjoyed.
My favorite moment was the sword fight in the meadow. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah,
not
honestly, a lot of their
lot
combat
of the choreography
was
pretty
good.
The combat was decent.
Like, they clearly had, like, people who knew how to, like, safely fight.
Yeah,
and then my least favorite part was the end.
Oh, yeah, the end made no sense.
No.
Yeah, I'd have to back that one, yeah. The ending was just not good.
Least favorite part was the end and the dragon being split open as it slid down the tower.
Like, the knighting ceremony would have made way more sense than whatever that ending was.
Literally.
Yeah. So, I'll say that's probably my least favorite moment. The dwarf introduction, of course.
Oh my gosh.
And the trash.
I can't find it.
All right, no. So out of 10 rods, what would you rate this movie?
I would say 10 out of 10. Because, oh God. You know what? This is
Brett. No.
Brett's like, no, not 10 out of 10.
This is art.
Anything that truly moves us is
yeah,
art.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the fact that, like, I was able to laugh as
it was definitely
as I did.
Fun to watch,
yeah,
like, with friends.
It's, fun to
it's
watch.
Very fun.
But it was also, as somebody who plays D&D, it is also really hard when you know that there's so many things that they missed out on doing.
Yeah.
So, that was... Actually, I'm gonna change it. Rod number...
you number your rods?
I was about to say, it sounds like a perfume. Like, rod number 5.
Yeah.
Mambo number
5. I scored
five.
A 3.5.
3.5 rods.
Wow. The drastic change.
Changed from a 10 out of 10
to 3.5 rods.
I was confused. Was it Harry Potter? Or
you thought we oh, wait. We're not rating Harry Potter. We're rating this.
Yeah.
All right, Brett, what you think?
One rod.
Brett.
They're going to have to edit that.
One rod. There you go. There's the queen version.
All right, Johnny boy, what do you think?
I will give it... I will give it 4 rods. The acting overall, despite a terrible draft script, it was good. Little over the top at times, but overall, it wasn't bad.
The script itself really didn't bother me that much.
It does feel like a bit like a first draft.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely didn't feel finished, but it wasn't as bad as other scripts, like in other movies.
No.
I was
oh, no, not at all.
And there were some
all.
Really fun parts, too. Like,
yeah.
There was parts
I think
I really
it also
enjoyed.
Had a lot to do with the cinematography.
That was... Yeah.
It felt like the camera work was a bit strange. Sometimes characters... You know, looked really awesome, and then sometimes it was blurry.
Yeah, like I remember I was like, whenever it's on snails, it's really focused and sharp, and then when it's on Ridley, it's all fuzzy.
Blurry,
yeah.
I'll give it 4. I mean, like we all said, I mean, it's a great like watch with friends kind of thing, but I wouldn't go out of my way to like might watch it like. Maybe once a year, if that.
Yeah. Just like for fun. On the anniversary. That rewatchability, man.
But overall, acting wasn't bad. I got a lot of the... Though they didn't label them, I got a lot of the references from D&D, like the elf casting Cure Wounds. And the dimension dooring, teleporting.
I think I'm just so used to hearing... Like,
ooh,
I explain
I'm so
what
sorry.
I'm doing.
I did that
as
right
I
into the mic.
Say the spell.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why aren't they telling me?
But, it loses points for me and the... there was a lot of... CGI was definitely one department, but that's That's just because we're spoiled nowadays with, like... I'm sure back in the day, it's like, CGI dragons.
Yeah, but, like, if you take CGI from, like, Jurassic Park to that movie, Jurassic Park was made before
But Jurassic
that,
Park
and
did better,
and better.
I mean, Harry Potter came out, like, maybe a year or two later.
A year later... Phantom Menace came out the year before this.
Yeah.
And, like, Harry Potter didn't have incredible CGI starting out, but it was better than that.
No, I really think it was the fact that all of the... Because, I mean, even if you go back to Jurassic Park, when they made the... how the dinosaurs are walking, that was a whole process. Like, it literally...
Yeah.
The guy was like, I'm going to try something new. Because they were first going with clay animation, and, and then they switched all these different things.
Yeah.
I feel like it was one of those moments where all of... The people who had gone far in that industry of CGI were working on other films, and it was more so
like big
leftovers.
Yeah.
Which I feel bad saying that, but it just that's the vibe that you get from the film.
And there were certain shots of the set, a camera angle, especially whenever I noticed it really bad. Whenever Ridley entered the maze, it looked like he was just walking towards a green screen.
And then it was, like, real on the inside, though. It was
weird. Yeah, like, he got up, and then they switched camera angles, and it looked like an actual place.
We were arguing about... Not arguing, but we were talking about, like, how the fact that the gate was CG, and then as soon as he walked in, the gate closed,
yeah,
and it was practical.
Yeah.
And it's like, so why not just use the real gate?
Yeah.
Like, what did it look like on the other side?
But, I mean, that's where it loses points in department for me. Overall, not bad. I mean, I give it 4 rods. It's not as bad as Dr. Doolittle. I'd watch this over Dr. Doolittle any day, but that's just me.
What about you?
2.5.
I figured you were going to go about 2.
About 2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun, I guess. It was such a bad movie. I almost would rather... It's in that level where it's just good enough that it's frustratingly bad.
Mm.
If it was a little worse, I would enjoy it more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the second one.
Yeah, yeah.
I would watch the second one over this one because it's so bad.
That's fair. I think I'm going to match John on this one. I feel very comfortable at 4 rods, so I'm going to do that. I didn't like the way that came out of my mouth. I'm sorry. As soon as I said it, I knew I made a mistake. I'm sorry.
I feel comfortable with 4 rods.
Okay.
Yeah, you couldn't have chosen a worse way to phrase that.
All right.
Oh, I can have so much editing.
Oh, boy. All right. But yeah, so I would do 4 rods out of 10 for it. Stop laughing at me, Samuel. I can't say anything that doesn't sound bad. Oh, my goodness.
You chose what to rate this out of. You chose rods.
Yes, I did.
It was important.
I mean, what else would you pick?
Four.
Dragons!
I'm gonna go with 4.
She says 4.
Yes. I'm gonna go with 4. I feel comfortable there. I honestly had fun with it. I had more fun with it than Sam had. But again, it's not like this is a good movie that I would be, like, excited to show people.
Yeah.
But it's a really fun, like, we all just want to hang out and have something to laugh at in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I would put this on when we're all just, like, hanging out, and then we can tune in and, like, laugh at whatever's happening on the screen. I do feel bad because I know the production issues around it,
yeah,
and, like, that it potentially could have been a lot better.
Yeah.
And it really sucks that they, like, couldn't do that. But you know, I mean, it is what it is. And you know, they may be coming out with a better one.
I was just saying, high hopes for 2023.
In a couple of years.
Yeah.
High hopes for 2023.
Yeah. You know, giving us the D&D movie we deserve.
but not the one we needed.
But yeah. Any final thoughts before we end this out?
I wish there was more skeleton in the movie.
More skeleton.
Yeah. More animatronic skeleton. That was
fun. I wish they would have given Chick with the grapes a bigger role.
She clearly wanted a bigger
yeah.
role.
She really wanted to be in that film.
She wanted it. Hey, she got in it.
She
was
true.
In it. She more
that's
than
true.
That guy was.
I wonder
was.
If I could find her.
Her?
Probably.
Her job description was be a model. And
be a model
yeah.
and eat this grape.
Eat this grape.
She's well, like,
hey, bro, eat this bean.
Well, as a reminder, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Mad Artists Entertainment or on Twitter at @artists_mad. We are finishing up and getting our first, like, part one of Call of Cthulhu out. Brett's been working really, really hard on that, and it's so close. We're almost ready. So we'll be posting about that very soon and uploading that for everyone to enjoy. If you have any comments, questions, corrections, or recommendations that we should review on here, you can message our social media or email us at banterbox.madartists@gmail.com. Leave us a review wherever you're listening. It really helps us